Hey there, Sports History fans. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network to share with you an awesome announcement. Now dig on this. Four of our amazing podcasts have clinched spots in the final round of the Sports Podcast Awards, and we need your support to take home the trophy. First up, we've got Basketball History 101, Driving the Lane in the Best Basketball category. Then on deck, we've got Orville Mulligan, Sports Writer. He's cracking up the competition in the Best Sports Comedy category. Marty's Illegal Stick is dominating the ice next in the Best Hockey category. And last but not least, we have Wrestling with Heels on powerbombing its way to victory in the Best Wrestling category. Now, again, we're counting on you to cast your vote and help out these incredible podcasters secure their well-deserved recognition. It's super easy. All you gotta do is head over to the dedicated landing page. That's at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Now, let's take another look at Sports Yesteryear with this episode brought to you by, of course, the Sports History Network.
When we think about the gridiron history of February 3rd, we're going to mention the name Super Bowl quite a bit because we're going to talk about a bunch of them and some good ones. And we also are going to learn about the start of a sporting goods empire. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Once again, and I am welcoming you from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania for this February 3rd edition of the Football History Headlines. Before we get started, just want to remind you that we have the Search for Yardage contest going on at PigskinDispatch.com, and we need you to go there and go into the search box and put in the keyword. And the key word's going to be brought up on this podcast just a little bit later, so make sure you listen closely, and we'll make sure it's clear that you know it is the key word. So, now let's get to our football history headlines. February 3rd, 1876, Albert Spaulding and Jay Walker Spaulding invested $800 that their mother had given them and started a sporting goods company called A.G. Spaulding & Bro. According to this story on CoxBlue.com, the Chicago-based sports store the brothers owned offered high-quality goods that other manufacturers failed to match. Albert had been a professional baseball player earlier in his adulthood, playing with the Rockford Pioneers, as also known to have pitched for the Boston Red Stockings and then moved on to coach the pitchers on the Chicago White Stockings. Alfred's equipment was what set him apart from the rest of the league. The company's website notes that Spaulding was the first player to wear a baseball glove and was widely considered one of the few who wasn't booed by the crowds because of his gear. The company started by manufacturing the first official baseball for Major League Baseball and then moved on to make the official tennis ball, basketball, golf ball, and football for their respective leagues. February 3rd, 1991. The NFL Pro Bowl for the 1990 season was played at Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. The game was an entertaining close matchup as the AFC edged out the NFC 23-21. Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly was the game's most valuable player. February 3rd, 2002, at the Louisiana Superdome in New Orleans. Super Bowl 36 was a great game. The St. Louis Rams were the greatest show on turf, with Kurt Warner slinging the ball to weapons such as Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk, Ricky Prawl, and Isaac Bruce. The Rams were heavily betting favorites against the Patriots, who came in with a no-name second-year quarterback named Tom Brady that stepped in for an injured Drew Bledsoe earlier in the season. The game started off as odds makers had predicted, as the Rams jumped out to an early 3-0 lead and were moving the ball again until New England's Ty Law picked off a pass and took it 47 yards for 6 points. The next drive, the Rams were again moving the ball, but Pearl fumbled the ball after a big catch, and the Pats were back in business again at their own 40-yard line. St. Louis, according to the Patriots.com article, outgained New England 427 yards to 267, but being plus 3 on a turnover margin helped the Patriots stay in the game. It came right down to the end when Adam Vinatieri kicked through a 48-yard field goal with zeros on the clock to put New England over the St. Louis Rams 20-17 in a thriller. It was a young Tom Brady who was selected as a game's most valuable player. February 3rd, 2008, the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. At Super Bowl 42, the New England Patriots were much more established as a perennial power in the NFL than they were in the earlier Super Bowl we just talked about. The Patriots came into the Super Bowl with an unstained 16-0 record, and they faced a 10-6 New York Giants team, per ESPN.com article. As a matter of fact, the two teams had met in Week 17 in a game that meant everything for the Giants, but was a playoff warm-up for the New England Patriots, who won by 3 points in New York. Certainly no one could expect the G-men to win this game, could they? Well, there's a reason they play the game, my friends, and that's because there are professional players on both teams. The Giants put on a crazy pressure on Tom Brady all day and sacked him 5 times, while the Giants' offense had some remarkable play themselves to keep the game close. It all came down to the end of the game, as most great games do. The Patriots took the lead 14-10 with 2:42 remaining on the clock when Randy Moss hauled in a 6-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady for a score. Eli Manning then drove his team down the length of the field, starting from their own 17-yard line with 2:39 left, and marched 83 yards down the course of the field. In the game's most memorable play, on a 3rd and long, as Manning played Houdini and escaped an aggressive Patriots pass rush to launch a strike to wide receiver David Tyree, who made the famous helmet catch. It was a thing of beauty, a leaping, one-handed catch, pinning the football with his right hand to the crown of his helmet for a 32-yard first down conversion. A few plays later, facing 3rd and 11, Eli found wide receiver Plaxico Burress for the winning touchdown on a 13-yard reception with 35 seconds remaining. The New York Football Giants defeated the New England Patriots 17-14, ruining their perfect season with a championship, and the game's MVP was Eli Manning. February 3rd, 2013, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in New Orleans, Super Bowl 47 was a memorable one for a couple reasons before the game even started. First, it matched it for the first time in the NFL two opposing head coaches that were brothers. Yes, John Harbaugh led his Baltimore Ravens against his brother Jim Harbaugh's San Francisco's 49ers. The second item was that the power went out at the stadium, causing a delay in play at the very beginning of the game. The game was a good one, too. Once to get going, as Baltimore stormed out to a 21-6 halftime lead to see the Niners rally back in the third quarter. The 49ers cut the lead to 2 with just under 10 minutes remaining as a 2-point conversion attempt failed to tie the score. The Baltimore Ravens held on and defeated the San Francisco 49ers 34-31. The MVP of the game was quarterback Joe Flacco of Baltimore, who according to the PFR threw for 287 yards and 3 touchdowns. February 3rd, 2019, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. At Super Bowl 53, the LA Rams met up with the New England Patriots to see who the top team for the 2018 season would be. The defenses were prevalent as both offenses were met with stone walls in what would be the lowest scoring Super Bowl to date for ESPN.com. The Patriots' Sony Michel would score the game's lone touchdown on a 2-yard plunge in the fourth quarter as the New England Patriots beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. Patriot wide receiver Julian Edelman caught 10 balls for 141 yards to earn the MVP honors and give the New England Patriots its 6th Super Bowl victory. Now get out your pen and paper, because it's time for us to give you the keyword for the Search for Yardage contest on the pigskindispatch.com in the search box. Go to the search box right now and enter in the keyword Lombardi and see what results come up. The ones that have the yellow triangle, click on them Enter your email so that we know who collects the points, and you will start collecting yardage to win the contest. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about the gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday, so come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
Wow, Mark sure does a great job with his podcast. It's a great one to listen to. Very interesting and very diverse in the sporting world. Now let's get into some birthdays of our Hall of Famers for this February 3rd on this Gridiron Day. And we'll start off in the year 1940 in Richmond, Virginia. Fran Tarkenton, the mobile quarterback from the University of Georgia, was born. Per the NFF web bio on Fran, he was a leader of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and an academic All-American. He is best remembered at Georgia for the 1959 game with Auburn. Trailing 13-7 with time running out, Georgia had the ball fourth down on a 13-yard line. When Tarkenton threw a touchdown pass, Georgia won the game and clinched the conference title. The National Football Foundation selected Fran Tarkenton for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1987. Tarkenton was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings in 1961. And in his first game, he threw for four touchdown passes and used his legs for a fifth. In 1967, Fran left the Vikings and spent five seasons with the New York Giants, until a surprising trade in 1972 led him back to Minnesota. According to the ProFootballHOF.com website, Fran rewarded the Vikings for trading for him in his final 7 years with the Vikings, as he led Minnesota to six NFC Central Division titles and three Super Bowl appearances. He was named first or second team All-NFL three times. In 18 seasons in the NFL, Fran played in nine Pro Bowls, threw for over 47,000 yards passing and 342 touchdowns, while he ran for another 3,674 yards. In 1986 ceremonies, the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Fran Tarkenton into their Canton Museum. Well, you like talking about quarterbacks that were born on February 3rd in the Hall of Fame? Well, here's another one. February 3rd, 1945, Evansville, Indiana. Purdue University's famed quarterback Bob Greasy was born. According to the footballfoundation.org website, Bob started as a sophomore for the Boilermakers, and in the second game of that 1965 season, he led Purdue in an upset of top-ranked Notre Dame by the score of 25-21. In the win over the Irish, Greasy completed 19 of 22 passes, including 13 straight completions at one point. He was a consensus All-American selection in both 1965 and 1966. The National Football Foundation selected Bob Greasy for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1984. Bob was a top pick by the Miami Dolphins in the 1967 AFL Draft. He played 12 seasons in the NFL and earned the NFL Player of the Year award in 1971. He helped his team go undefeated in 1972 and won Super Bowl VII, and then repeated as champs again in Super Bowl VIII. Bob played in two AFL All-Star games and six NFL Pro Bowls. In 1990, Bob Greasy received a gold jacket as he was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. February 3rd, 1956, in Dallas, Texas, Arizona State University's brilliant wide receiver, John J.J. Jefferson, was born. Playing out west, away from the spotlight of the Eastern teams, J.J. earned a selection as a 1977 consensus All-American. The NFF says that Jefferson garnered the eye of the national media when ASU was trailing late in the first half of the Arizona game. Jefferson stretched his body out flat, diving toward a pass, and completely horizontal reeled it in for a TD. He went down into the annals of Sun Devil lore, known simply as the catch, the touchdown that helped rally ASU as they preserved an undefeated season and went on to victory over Nebraska in the Fiesta Bowl and a number two national ranking as the nation's only undefeated team. The National Football Foundation selected John Jefferson for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2002. The San Diego Chargers selected Jefferson as the fourth player taken in the NFL draft. In the 8 seasons he played in the league, he was elected to 4 Pro Bowls. And we are so appreciative that you joined us here once again for your football history headlines for February 3rd. And to make sure as soon as the next edition comes out, which will be February 4th, hit the subscribe button right now on that podcast player. Make sure you know as soon as we release it. You can also find us at your favorite podcast provider or at thesportshistorynetwork.com, where we are included with about almost just under 20 other podcasts on there right now. It's growing all the time. It's hard to keep track how many we have. Arnie Chapman is doing a great job of recruiting folks in over there, and it is a growing community at thesportshistorynetwork.com. Someplace you really want to go to check out all your sports history, because they cover a wide array of sports over there, not just football. So make sure you check that out. The other place to go is pigskindispatch.com, where, remember, you can use that keyword we gave you earlier, which is Lombardi. Put it in a search box, and when you click on that, you're going to see all the content of the Sports History Network and pigskindispatch.com. You can see all the great football information we have there. So make sure you do that as soon as you get off here. Type in a word of Lombardi, and maybe go back and read some of the other articles and since February 1st, and get those other search words and get your points so you get the most yardage and take that lead on the leaderboard. So until tomorrow, folks, we'll see you later. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.